Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of the Viewfinder Vikings podcast. Something a little bit different this time around. It's me on my own. My name's Ian Nutt. I'm going to play you a recording that I made yesterday when I set out to create a zine pretty much in a day. The reason for doing so was to prove to people that zine projects don't have to be big, complicated things, and that you already have the work necessary to create a zine, and that shouldn't be the thing that stops you from doing it. Anyway, I took a trip down into Kerry, so the first part of the recording is my journey down there and sort of setting out what I'm planning to do for the day. So I'll play you this first recording of my trip down there. Then there's a few pieces of audio that I recorded on the hill when I was actually out taking the pictures, and then a couple in my kitchen later on when I was processing the film. And then finally, I'll talk a little bit about how I put the pictures together into a zine and the process I went through to sort of prepare the images from the point of being processed and scanned through to actually uploading them and pressing the order button. So here we go. Apologies in advance for the background noise on the next couple of clips. There's road noise from me from the car as I drive down to Kerry, and then this sound of Storm Attia trying to blow me off the side of the hill for the couple of clips after that. Hi everyone, it's another weekend, so another chance for a photographic adventure. My mother-in-law is overstaying with us at the moment, which means I don't have to worry quite so much about childcare last weekend and this, so I'm taking the chance to get out and spend a bit of time exploring Southwest Ireland. So I've driven down from County Clare, where we live, down into County Kerry, and I'm heading for a mountain whose name is Irish and I can't pronounce it, but I'll put some notes to accompany this recording and you can have a go at pronouncing it yourself. I've been to this mountain once before, not actually climbed it, but sort of been to the base and had a look at the start of the Pilgrim Path, which is what I'm going to trace today. So the Pilgrim Path is a route up the mountain. The mountain's about 700 metres tall. It's right next to the coast, so you literally start at sea level and climb the 700 metres up. So 2,500 feet, for those of you who haven't understood that metric is the superior unit of measure. So on the way up the climb, there are 14 stone crosses which were built in the 1880s. These stone crosses are used as stations of the cross. Anyway, these stations of the cross are 14 stone crosses on the side of a particularly bare mountain with a spectacular view beyond them. And the reason that I'm traveling down here to take pictures of them is that, first of all, I thought there were 12, and that would be 12 frames on a roll of film. Turns out there are 14, but I've brought two rolls of film. What I plan to do with these pictures is to shoot them today, get home, process them, scan them in, do any tweaking that I need to do, and then create a zine with these 14 pictures and maybe one or two kind of scene setters, just to give a wider view of the area. And the reason for doing this, I mean, it's not going to be the most interesting zine, of course, unless you're particularly interested in Irish pilgrim paths. But what it hopefully will do is show that that a zine project doesn't need to be years and years of work. It doesn't need, the scope of it can be small, as long as there's something that kind of holds the pictures together, a common theme or a look that's similar or whatever it might be. Because, talking about zines over the past few years with various people, lots and lots of people want to give them a try, want to have a go at creating their own, but will say, "Oh, well, I haven't got a project, or I haven't got a body of work that's good enough," or that kind of thing. And the reason for doing this is to show that anybody can do it. Everybody has got a body of work. It could be one roll of film or one roll and two frames, as it will be today. And it doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. And zines are cheap enough these days. It doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to use fancy paper. It doesn't have to be full colour and perfectly bound and all that kind of thing. These things, I imagine, are going to cost me less than £2 each by the time I've got them made. And they'll be
few pieces of paper because of the limited content. So what I'm going to do with this zine once I've got it printed is send it out to everybody who is interested, who's never made a zine of their own, is interested in doing it, but tells me that thing, tells me that they don't have a body of work suitable for use in a zine project. Let me know, give me a shout, you'll find me on social media, Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing, if you want a copy of this thing, and hopefully, as I say, it'll inspire you to produce your own, and maybe you can send me a copy of yours once you've done it. So anyway, I'm a couple of hours into the drive now. I'm probably 15 or 20 minutes away from the foot of the mountain. The weather's not too bad. This is Kerry, so it'll change every 10 minutes or so from clear sunshine to torrential rain. It is pretty windy today, so might provide one or two challenges for the taking of the pictures, but we should be fine. I'll be using my Mamiya C330 and some FP4. I'll hopefully travel a little bit lighter than I did last week. I did a walk up a hill last week as well and carried too much gear and suffered as a result. But yeah, travel a little bit lighter, although the C330 can never be called light. But if it's just the C330, then that's not so bad. Anyway, I'll perhaps make a couple more recordings as I get started on the hill, and I'll let you know how we're getting on.
Hi, it's me again. So I'm on the hill. I've just photographed cross number 4, and I'm just about into the cloud. Cloud seems pretty well set. Sitting on the top of the higher peaks. Yeah, so far so good. I've had to rate the film at 320 rather than 125 because it's just no light. This cloud cover means that everything's pretty dark. So yeah, wide apertures and pushed film. Not my ideal choice, but it's the case. So yeah, 4 shots in. What I'm doing is taking a picture sort of square onto the front of each cross, and then trying to take another picture from a different angle. And I'll see when I've got all the pictures together which works best. What I'm doing as I get to each cross is pacing 9 steps away from the cross to get a consistency to the composition, so the cross is the same size in each frame. And yeah, we'll see how they look later on. As I say, that's 4 in. It's a pretty steep climb, as you can probably tell from my rasping breath. Hello, so I just photographed cross number 8 of 14. I'm just tucked behind the ridge that I'm about to walk up onto the top of, and it'll be pretty exposed up there, so maybe last recording for a little while I've not got so much wind noise. I'm in the thick of the cloud. I'm not able to do much photographically with each of the pictures of the crosses because it's just thick white cloud in the background. But I'll keep going. I'll finish the project. They're still going in the zine. The thing's still going to happen. It's just getting even more dull than it sounded in the first place when it was just 14 pictures of stone crosses. Anyway, onwards and upwards. So a quick check-in. I'm on the way back down. I'm back down at cross number 5. Made it to the top, mission accomplished. Got pictures of all 14 of the crosses on the way up. The weather on the top was ridiculous. The wind was impossible to hold the camera still. And there was, in the clouds, it was pretty wet as well, so everything was getting drenched. So last couple of pictures might be a bit iffy, but we'll see. Yeah, then started my way down, slipped over in the peat, slid down the hill in the wet, and I'm pretty soaked, the bottom half of me at least. So back to the car, change of underpants, off to the nearest town, get some fish and chips, and then drive home to do some processing and create some zine magic.
So I'm back home and it's time to process the films. So I've got 5 rolls to process.
Two near Panacross, one FP4 at Box Speed from last weekend that have finished off today, a couple of shots. And then the two rolls that are shot on the mountain, which were shot at 320 rather than Box. So that's three different development times and therefore three lots of standing here waiting for the things to brew. And the first one, which is FP4 at 320 in DDX, is 14 minutes, so it could be a long night. Luckily, to keep me going while I'm processing, I've got some Random Rules IPA from the Verdant Brewing Company in Cornwall in the UK. It's 6.5% IPA. It's absolutely delicious, so I think I'll be fine. So the first two rolls are out of the tanks. These are the two that were shot at 320 on the mountain today. Look okay. Decent range of blacks through to whites on the negatives. All the negatives are pretty dark looking because of the amount of cloud on the hill. Means that they'll be obviously white when they're reversed. But so far so good. We've certainly got a picture of every cross at least. So yeah, we have the makings of a zine.
So once all the pictures are scanned and stored away on the hard drive, the next thing to do is to start preparing them as pages rather than as individual pictures. I don't use any publishing software. I looked into InDesign once and saw it was kind of 20 quid a month, something like that. So I tend to stick with just straightforward Photoshop and then prepare each page kind of one by one. Now, if you know how to use actions in Photoshop, that will speed things up a little bit. Actions are a way that you can basically press the record button, carry out a series of actions, and then apply those same changes to the next image and the next image just by pressing play on the action kind of thing. So quite a useful thing to learn, and I've only learnt it through doing zines. So the action that I created was to bring in the individual picture and then to resize it to make it 120 millimeters square. So obviously I'm using square images. I'm going to create a zine that's an A5 portrait orientation, so that means 210 millimeters by 148 or 21 centimeters by 14.8. The other thing that I need to do is add 6 millimeters, so 3 millimeters in all directions to each page as a bleed for the printer, so that if you put things close to the edge of a page, then there's a chance that it might get cut off. So tend to leave 3 millimeters, as I say, in all directions, so the page is actually oversized. So once the image is resized to 120 millimeters square, I then use the canvas size function to increase all directions by 17 millimeters and use a white canvas extension for that. So effectively, you've then got a 17 millimeter border in all directions. So you've now got a picture that's the correct width and has got a border at the top of the picture that's going to sit above the image on the page. Then open canvas size again and extend the bottom of the image that's now got a border around it, extend the bottom of that frame down to make a full size page. And now you've got an image that's the correct size, that's now A5 plus the 3 millimeters in all directions, as I say. If you can do that in an action, that does speed things up. The other thing that I did for this particular project was to put a piece of text underneath each picture. Now, I never do that normally, but you'll see why when you get your copy of the zine. It kind of made sense to have a caption for each of the frames. So copy and paste from one page to the next. Make sure if you hold down the command function, if you're using a Mac, probably control if you're using Windows, then you, when you have the text box highlighted in Photoshop, it'll tell you its position. So it'll tell you how far it is from the top and bottom of the canvas and how far from either side. So you can make sure that you've got the text in the same place on every page. And that's pretty much it. So now you've got a page that's the right size. It's actual size as well, so won't need any resizing. You should have done all this at 300 dpi. It's probably a little bit high, but to give you maximum printing quality, you use 300 dpi. That's it. Depends how confident you are that you're not going to want to change things further down the line. If you are super confident, you can flatten the image, remove all the layers, just flatten it down to a page. And then if you're feeling really brave, just save that as a PDF. you might want to keep it all as either a Photoshop file or some as a JPEG or some format that's going to allow you to make changes later on. But if you're feeling confident, get it into a PDF straight away. The other thing that you should do, thinking about it, as you save the image, you should save the pages in a number sequence. So what I tend to do is page one is I call number 5, page 2 is number 10, page 3 is number 15, etc. And then if I want to move things around or insert other images, I have numbers between 10 and 15. I've got 11, 12, 13, 14, for example, where I can rename a file and drop it into that position. This makes things easier, particularly if you're using Mixam, which is who I use, as when you upload the files, if they're it'll put them into sequence, into number order as you upload them. So if you can name them as you're creating them, then that means that they'll as you upload them, they'll drop into the right sequence, which is great. So one other step that I missed, but through the magic of Audacity, I'm able to drop this in, hopefully to the appropriate place, is to as an aid to sequencing your work, it's really useful to print out the pictures that you're going to be putting into your zine. So for example, using either the free, you give us an email address and we'll send you 50 prints kind of service, or if you've got a home printer, just printing 6x4 prints and actually handling them, laying them side by side. This is much easier to do physically rather than on a screen. You know, the thing that you're creating is a physical thing, and therefore, to me, I find it a lot easier to look at the pictures as printed images and use them to sequence zines in that way. So next up, when you've got your files all created, all in one folder, you could start thinking about uploading them to the printers. Now I'm going to tell you how it works with Mixam Print. As I say, I've used those for all of my zine projects in the past. They're now operating in the US and in Canada, I saw over the last week or so. So I find the interface is pretty good. It's a little bit peculiar, some of the things it does, but that's probably my lack of interest in kind of investigating it beyond the basics that I want to do with it. But it's pretty straightforward. And as I say, if you've taken the trouble to number your images or your pages in the sequence that you want them to appear in the book, then you're well on the way. So if you go to Mixam, if you create an account, all that sort of thing, then choose their brochures and magazines section, and then you can start making some choices about how many copies of the publication you're going to want, what size you want it, how many pages it's going to be, and then things like paper choice is next. So I tend to use at least 150 grams per square meter, just to make sure it's thick enough that I don't see one picture through the paper from the other side. I tend to put a heavier cover on it, so 250 grams, something like that, just to give it a bit of weight. And then the finish of the paper, be it silk, natural, gloss, etc., tend to be more artistic choices, if you like. Some projects will suit glossy paper, others will suit really kind of matte paper that almost absorbs the light. I did a zine a couple of years ago called Nighttime Adventures in Nearpan, and I printed that on silk paper initially, but then tried printing it again on it was either recycled or natural, the paper's called, and it's really matte, and it, as I say, it kind of absorbs light, and there's no reflections from it at all, and that really suited the project. So think about the project, think about what the paper choice is going to look like. I didn't talk about sequencing in the previous step. It's quite easy to spend a lifetime studying how the experts at sequencing do it. For me, I think it's easy enough to lay two pictures side by side and decide if they're going to work or not together. In some projects, you won't have a choice. They'll need to go in a particular sequence. For example, this project that I'm putting together here, the crosses are in the order that they're in, and therefore that's the order that they'll be in the zine. But in a normal project, then there's more opportunity for you to be creative with the way that you're laying the work out and how the work flows, whether you're telling a story with it, whether you want to tell one story and then kind of have a twist halfway through and then tell another one afterwards. And you can play around with this to your heart's content. And as I say, if you study photo books and see how the masters do this. It really is an art in itself, the sequencing process. But anyway, assuming you've done all that, you've created the selections for your for how your zine's going to look, then you can start the upload process. As I say, if you've numbered them in sequence, they'll upload in that order. On Mixum, you can call things cover and back cover and things like that, and it will recognise that and put those in the appropriate positions. And then, as I say, the files will be in number order. The software does allow you to preview the artwork. So once everything's uploaded, you have a kind of virtual book that you can flick through, that you can actually page through, which is really useful. So that's it. In 20 minutes, we've gone through creating a series of images suitable for a zine through to how to prepare them and upload them to Mixum. I've done the same thing with the Pilgrim Path pictures that I was talking about. I ordered 30 copies. It's a 20-page zine with a 150-gram paper, as I talked about, 250-gram cover, full colour throughout, and that's cost me £39.50 delivered. So I think £6.50 was delivery, £33 for the 30 zines, so pretty reasonable, really. The postage out to people will cost me an awful lot more than that. But hopefully the talking you through the process has been useful. If you've got any questions on the process, if I can help you in any way get your own zine out there, then do let me know. Also, if you'd like a copy of the zine that I've been talking about and you haven't already produced your own zine, then let me know. I'll send you a link of where you can pick one up and a discount code, which will mean it's free. All I ask for in return is that you produce your own zine and let me know how you found the process. So the Viewfinder Vikings don't actually have any social media account. We have a Flickr group, which you can get in touch with us there. But if, as I said, you've got any questions about creating zines, or you want to take me up on this offer of the zine that'll inspire you to produce your own, then I'm Barnaby Nutt on Twitter and Instagram, and Ian Barnaby Nutt on Facebook. Get in touch. So that's it for now. We'll see you again for episode 20. We've got a couple of guests lined up for future episodes, which is pretty exciting. Two really great photographers who we're really looking forward to talking to. So that should be out before Christmas. But if not, have a great festive period, and we'll speak to you again soon.